Thanks for tuning in to the Campervan Podcast. If you're hearing this intro, it's because you're not listening to the premium feed. Access to that feed is free, and you can sign up at vansage.com to get it. So why sign up for the premium feed? Well, for one, valuable exclusive content. I'll say more about that at the end of this episode.
Yeah, I was all the time I was thinking, wait a minute, this is all pre-COVID.
This was all pre-COVID. Yeah, as soon as COVID hit, we were all scattered in different states when COVID hit. And I know a couple of them were in Canada even, and then had to kind of make the quick call to get back to the States.
Yeah.
I think, and one of the couples in that group is actually Canadian. So we won't be skiing with them this year, which is too bad. I know some in the group are leaning away from ski passes and trying to do more backcountry skiing.
Just because of the crowds will some mountains be closed? I would assume that due to cost or something.
So I think, at least I know through my pass, the Icon pass, I know the Epic pass, which is like Icon's competitor, which has like the other resorts on it. They are doing something similar, but there's going to be, it sounds like as of now, there's going to be reservation systems,
which does
take a lot of that spontaneity out of it, where it's like you have to have a plan, you have to reserve your time. It takes a lot of the fun of like being able to live in a van and just go and drift, wander out of it. We'll see what happens. I decided to go forward with the pass because I have a flexible work schedule. So I ski Monday through Friday, and then I disappear on weekends and let everybody else go ski. And I think that this reservation system will mostly impact the people who are trying to get out on the weekends, because they're trying to just keep their numbers down at the ski resort. So for someone who wants to go when there are no crowds, I think I will have the advantage here. But it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. There's a lot of unknown still about how that's going to affect not just ski season, but what ski season looks like for a nomad.
Sure. Everything's changing so fast. Everything's upside down. So, I mean, we'll hopefully have this conversation, similar conversation next year, and hopefully your season will be great again. It'll be interesting to see how it shakes out. And backcountry skiing, that's great, right? So if that's what it turns into.
Yeah, it is. I have the gear to go backcountry skiing. I do not have my avalanche certification. So some of the couples in the group are doing their avalanche certification now. And when I've gone out before, I've gone with experience. Backcountry skiers in areas that are very low risk. But my worry with the backcountry stuff this year is that everyone's got the same idea of like, well, it's the ski resorts are going to be a disaster. I'm going to hit the backcountry, because that's exactly what happened when all the ski resorts closed back in March. Everyone went to the backcountry. Mm-hmm. But now you're getting all of these people who are taking risks that they're maybe not prepared to take.
Yeah.
Even if you have your avalanche certification, you don't have control about the other people. Or you don't have control of the other people who are out there.
Sure.
And so, we'll see if I get into the backcountry this year. I'm honestly kind of terrified. I think it will be a lot riskier to get out there this year, just because having these ski resorts sort of close off to just whoever wants to go is really going to push people to find other ways to get out there.
Yeah. Well, I'm not worried about you. I mean, having just
no,
because
we'll find adventure, we'll be fine.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, in terms of safety, just because, like, again, the article that you wrote about quarantining in your van and stuff, you're very safety conscious and cautious. And that's another thing. It's one, and everybody's different in this again, but it's one thing to be adventurous and out looking for excitement. It's another thing to be reckless about it. And that's obviously not you. And striking that balance is a wonderful thing. It's almost like I've been following a overlander on YouTube recently. A Jeep guy. And I'm sorry, I don't have it. I'll try to put it in the show notes. But what I realized about the people who take more serious risks in order to go have their adventure experiences, they get as much fun out of being careful and being well prepared and having the right gear and knowing how to use it as they do the journey and the trip. You know, it's like it's all part and parcel. Like if you don't enjoy, you know, understanding tire pressures on your Jeep before you go up some low, super, super high clearance, steep trail, then you shouldn't be doing it, right? And
yeah,
so,
I mean, that is part of the adventure.
Exactly.
I also find that, like for me, as far as like risk taking goes, I live in a van by myself.
Yeah.
Nowhere close to family. So if I get hurt, that's it. Like that's, I you know, if I can't take care of myself in a van, if I can't do, you know, attend to my basic needs, I have to work. I have to, you know, haul big water jugs. I have to walk a dog every day. And so if I get hurt, like that's the end of this adventure. I would rather scale it back a little bit and use some caution and not like just, you know, oh, send it, anything to be able to do this indefinitely. Because getting hurt would ruin all of it.
Sure. Good for you. Again, I'm not worried about you.
Yeah.
There's a couple other things I want to talk with you specifically about. One would be your work life on the road. I know a lot of people are going to be jealous of the fact that you can support yourself. But let's back up a couple years and talk about your the lead up to buying and building out a van. And what did that look like financially for you? How long did it take you to kind of prepare for, you know, the big purchase and all that, or did you work during that time, et cetera?
So I don't know if I've ever shared this with you, actually. And I almost brought it up earlier. As you mentioned, you know, there's a bit of luck of, like, getting yourself onto the road and you have these things in place. And that's actually not true at all. The reason I got on the road was, like, a lot of really awful luck. Pretty bad luck, actually.
Oh.
So I had intended to travel with a partner. I had been dating a guy. We had these van life dreams that kind of fell into place. He was a planner. He was an engineer. So, like, as soon as we had made this decision, it was, like, spreadsheet after spreadsheet and figuring out what we were going to sell and what the expenses would be. We had a plan to move in with his parents and build the van there so that we could save money on rent or house payments and then live there for free. Build our van. He was going to get all of this going while I was finishing off my school year. I was a first grade teacher. So he was going to do the build so that we could leave pretty much as soon as I was done with the school year, the first week in June. You know, everything was starting to fall into place. He was meeting with a realtor to sell his home. I did not renew my apartment lease. And then he started selling all of his belongings. I told my principal I would not be returning for the next school year. So, like, essentially quit my job. I had a few months left of work, but would not be employed for the next year. And I didn't have a job lined up. I knew I would figure it out, but I was getting paid through the end of July. So I had a little buffer of time before I had to find a job. So all of this was in place. I was 2 weeks out of before my lease ended, and we went on this fateful road trip where he suddenly decided that he didn't want to be with me or get in the van with me. So, yeah, at the beginning of our trek, our two-day trek home in the back of a Subaru, he told me that he was no longer going to be joining me on this journey. And my world was turned upside down because I knew in 2 weeks I would no longer have a place to live and that I had, you know, 2 more months of a paycheck. And we did not have a van yet. So I was in this horrible limbo of, like, I'm not in van life and I've given up everything from my old life. And so I made the terrifying decision to buy myself a van, but I didn't have a lot of time. I didn't have a plan.
Sure.
Of, like, saving, because we were doing this together. So, like, our plan was joint. We were going to be able to afford it because it was an us thing and not just a me thing. My hand wasn't forced because I could have gone, okay, I'll find a new place to live. I will find a new job. But I knew that I had already done so much of the scary stuff to get to living in a van, the stuff that holds people back, that it was like I had already gone past that tipping point. And him and I had talked before we got into the van about what's worst case scenario. And it was always, well, we don't like van life.
Once again, if you're hearing this, it's because you're not getting the premium feed. Head over to vansage.com and enter your email address for exclusive access to free, valuable stuff. So, what do you get? This is a daily podcast, but we only release 6 episodes on this public feed each week. Episode 7 is only for premium members. When you sign up at vansage.com, not only do you get early access to the Campervan podcast episodes, you also get episode 7. Each week, I'll send you a link to download in advance all 7 episodes for that week. Also, you get the vansage.com newsletter that includes exclusive articles and links to awesome van life stuff not available on the site or the podcast. I won't spam you or sell your email address. That would be ridiculous. I value your trust and promise not to abuse it. Again, all this is free, so head to vansage.com and enter your email address. Don't miss out on the valuable, free, exclusive extras. Okay, I have a favor to ask you. Please help get the word out. Nothing beats word of mouth, and the best way to achieve that in the modern era is to share the link to the Campervan podcast on social media such as Facebook, Instagram, your blog, YouTube channel, or other platforms. You can also send it old school style via email or even text message. Also, iTunes reviews are much appreciated. If you feel compelled to head over to iTunes and give us 5 stars, that would be wonderful. Okay, thanks again for tuning in, and I will see you on the road. I've got the blues about me so-and-so, and the dog's got the blues about me. This morning, it's my fault I've been crying.